Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, beginning in verse 1. And again, we will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there, while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil, and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Then the disciples came and asked Jesus, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Jesus answered, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For to those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. The reason I speak to them in parables is that seeing, they do not perceive, and hearing, they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, 'You will indeed listen, but never understand. And you will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of God and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in the heart. This is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the word of God for us and for many, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Do you have a favorite hymn by chance? Better yet, do you have a hymn that you think is without a doubt the greatest hymn ever written? Something tells me if we were in a small group, we could have a lot of discussions, and we may, in a group of 10 people, have 10 different hymns that not only are our favorite, but we think are the best. We could have that discussion until Christ comes again. But what I'm not so sure is up for discussion is which is the most popular hymn. Which is the hymn that everybody just knows? It doesn't matter what denomination you are. It doesn't matter even if you've ever come to church. Which is the one hymn that you would know? I don't think I'm going out too far on a limb to say that hymn is clearly in God's grace. And yet, if we listen incorrectly, if we listen wrongly, we hear it the wrong way, we might take it too literally. We might think that John Newton might have been just singing about, telling about how great his hymn was, and that the sound that is so sweet was this song, and that's not the case. We may think that Amazing Grace says that if you are lost on the road, your GPS has died, and you need to get back, that it is grace that will get you back on the right road. Maybe, but I don't think that's what John Newton had in mind. We may hear the words, was blind, but now I see, to speak as though that somebody who was, as we understand the word, blind or vision impaired, would suddenly be able to see. And maybe we see that in the gospel, surely, of Jesus' healing power. But that's certainly not John Newton's story. Right, his biography does not read as somebody who was born blind and then all of a sudden by praying the right prayer, his vision was brought back or restored. No. He's using these words a little differently. He's speaking to something that is not false. It's actually true, and maybe truer than anything else. He's speaking to the power of grace to change not what we see or what we hear, but how. God's grace certainly does have an impact on our vision and on our hearing, as well as on our speaking and on our thinking. But I don't think it quite appropriate to say that suddenly by grace, something that isn't there, we suddenly see. Right? It's not as though there's this hidden world around us and grace just shows it to us. No, grace is much more about how we see the world. Maybe that actually does include seeing things other people don't. Noticing things that the world chooses to ignore. You know, maybe it is grace that makes us aware of the person asking for change on the side of the road while countless people stream past. Maybe it is grace that makes us aware of a man who fell into the hands of robbers and was left dead in a ditch, or left for dead in a ditch. But maybe also, and in fact, more importantly, I would say, grace encourages us and moves us to see the same thing everybody else sees. The same goings on. The same things reported on the news or on television. We just understand them differently because of God's grace. It gives us this great spiritual eyes that we may look on the world around us and understand it better. Interpret what is going on in this world in light of the gospel, in light of the birth, the life, the teachings, the death, the resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus the Christ. That's what grace moves us to do. It's almost as if grace just asks us to put on a different pair of glasses, a different style of lens through which we observe and therefore understand the world, because you can't understand what you can't observe. However it is that you observe it. Because the unfortunate fact, my friends, is that from the moment we breathe our first breath, this world, this broken fallen world, yes, this world that was created by God to be good, but is now less than, it's giving us different ways to see the world. It's giving us different lenses by which we can see and interpret and understand and then act in this world. Ways that aren't necessarily in line with the values of the kingdom of God, but are definitely in line with the kingdoms of this world. That tell us to strive after things of this world, those things that we know are here today and gone tomorrow. But this world would have us chase after them and give our entire lives for them. Tells us just do this way, live this way, see this way, and the world will be yours. Somehow we've forgotten the words of Jesus that what does a man gain? He gains the world, but loses his soul. And so grace is this free gift that God offers to us in our lives, whereby that changes. The way we see the world changes. In fact, even if we haven't entirely gone through that transformation, that sanctification process, sometimes it may just be that little thing pecking at your brain. Maybe you're watching the news and you've got whatever talking head it is telling us not just what happened, but how we should understand what happened. Who is right and who is wrong? Who we should blame and who we should praise. Who we should be afraid of. Who we should hate. And as long as we're seeing and hearing the world on this world's terms, we will follow right along. But sometimes that grace is just sitting there in the back of your head. And it's all of a sudden just like, you step outside yourself for a moment. You say, wait a minute. Is this what Jesus would say? Is this how Jesus would have me understand the world? Am I following based on the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, or am I following based on whatever kingdom today's culture or today's partisan politics have told me to follow? Is this really somebody that I ought to hate? To blame beyond forgiveness? To be afraid of? Or is this very person somebody created in the very image of God? And somebody that just like me, God wants to save? That this is somebody that just like me, that Jesus Christ was born and lived and died and rose again for their sake. Those are the eyes, those are the ears, though that is the mind of grace, of amazing grace. We hear Jesus talking about it in our scripture today. You have to wonder sometimes, why does Jesus talk in parables so much? Why does he tell these stories? Because it's a perfect way to figure out what eyes we're looking at the world through, that we are interpreting the parable through. See, all these people are by the seaside. They've got ears. They work. They're hearing every single sound wave Jesus is saying is going in their ears and doing whatever sound waves do to make us hear things. But it's not getting here in their heart. Maybe it's even getting in their brain sometimes. And the difference is, in the brain is something that you rationally understand, but in your heart is when it actually changes the way you live. They don't hear it. Jesus explains that in part of our scripture today, of why he talks in parables, of what the difference is between seeing and perceiving. What the difference between hearing and listening and understanding is. And in fact, the parable itself speaks to that fact. The sower went out to sow and sowed the word of God everywhere. When it landed in good soil, the kingdom of God was brought forth more. It sprouted, up came a stalk and eventually fruit. And the kingdom of God was born again in this world. But you see, those other places, those are those places where grace and this world do battle. Those are those places that make us unable to truly hear and see and understand the kingdom of God and how it is different than the kingdom of this world. Perhaps, like the path, we've entirely closed ourselves off to grace, to the word of God. Because maybe we know that if we let it in, it will change who we are. Right? That's what grace does. It changes us. It transforms us. Maybe we don't want to transform. Maybe we're afraid of what transformation will do, because I can almost guarantee from my own experience that transformation of grace will eventually cause me to look at where I've been and say, wow, I was so wrong. We don't like being wrong. And so instead, we will just harden our hearts like Pharaoh. And the seed will bounce off and will be taken away. Maybe somewhere along the way, we've heard something that makes us think the gospel is something other than it is. Maybe somewhere along the way, we've heard that the gospel will mean you are always happy and that nothing bad will ever come your way, which is an interesting thing to think when you look at what happened to Jesus. Right? And so we go out and we hear the good news and we want to follow, but somewhere along the way, it gets tough. Or maybe we're perfectly okay with Jesus transforming how we act on Sunday mornings, but maybe we're not so good with Jesus changing how we act on Mondays or on Saturday nights or on Wednesday afternoons. Maybe we're fine with Jesus transforming our spiritual life, but not our political life, no. Not our financial life. Not our job. So we have these other places that we just don't want it, like rocks in the soil. And sure enough, what comes forth there doesn't have the staying power. Maybe too, that's the way of the thorns. That we follow along and we keep going until something about this world, we get to a point where we either have to say, you choose the gospel or you choose this world. And the world sounds a lot more comfortable. The world sounds a lot more easy. So we go that way. The sower keeps sowing. Some places it keeps growing, in other places not yet. And in fact, if we really want to see the way that the gospel and grace changes how we see, look at the sower. Full honesty here, my friends. I'm not a gardener, not a sower. Gardening's one of those things that in my head I'm like, man, I really wish I could garden. I really wish I could do that. It looks so cool. I've never done it. Certainly never done it successfully. But I like to think that if I was sowing seed, I wouldn't put it on my driveway. I wouldn't put it where the weeds are. I wouldn't put it in that soil where I see rocks coming through. No, I'd want to go find the good soil, the places the seed will be most effective, and plant only there. Why would I waste my seed putting it on the driveway? The sower certainly seems wasteful, doesn't he? Seems maybe even a little reckless, we might say. But that's how it is with God's grace. God gives it, and God gives it abundantly, and God provides it everywhere. God provides it to those who are most faithful. We're here, it's every Sunday, or are always reading their Bible, or always praying the right prayers, and God gives it to those whose hearts are hardened. Again and again and again, God provides it. Because you know what? Those thorns, the rocks and the soil, that pavement, it's only temporary. Eventually, the thorns will shrivel and die. Eventually, the pavement will become cracked. Places where life can come through. Eventually, it may take a long time, longer than we want God to take, but eventually, those rocks will turn into soil. Time and time again, God can sow into our lives with little effect. But eventually, one day, it will have an effect. And what an effect it will be. 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. We will bear the fruit of the kingdom. And the funny thing about fruit is, they have more seeds in them. Our lives become the very vehicle by which the sower continues to sow the kingdom of God. Here and there and everywhere. And slowly but surely, the kingdom of God continues and advances on this broken world, continuing to transform us, to transform our lives, and through us, and in some cases in spite of us, transform the world. Until we truly have ears to hear and eyes to see, says the Lord, I am making all things new. That's the promise. That eventually those seeds will take root. And eventually plants will spring forth from them. And eventually God's kingdom will be everywhere. Heaven and earth will be one. A place of no more pathways, no more rocky soil, no more thorns, no more pain, no more suffering, no more tears, no more sickness, no more injustice, no more sin, no more death. And God's people will continue to live in that kingdom forever. Because of grace, we know that when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Amen.